VR Troopers ends, kind of. Like, it's one of those deals that it could have kept going, but you actually got a whole show out of those two seasons.
And Beetleborgs did the same thing, basically.
Ugh, I couldn't stand that show. Just from the fact that they recast Joe and then actually make it a part of the story, but then when, like you guys said, it's basically the ghost of Jay Leno, like, Flabber is really what brings that show down. It's like if you had Ninjor throughout all of Mighty Morphin, I probably wouldn't have stuck with it.
That's a very apt comparison.
The mentor character, but the thing I think that pissed me off the most about Beetleborgs, and this is a character I hate in all shows, is like grandma who doesn't act her age. Like, for either Family Matters or Beetleborgs or like so many shows from that era, it's like, hey, grandma's rollerblading, it's so crazy.
Three, two, one.
And now it's time for another Superhero Time with your hosts, XV.
Speaking of which, your mother.
Hey, Mickey.
It's like staring into an ugly sun.
Paladin.
There's a thin line between douche and dick.
Ken.
What a good pirate.
And Fort Max.
We'll be right back.
All right, it's Superhero
Nichols.
Shut up, Paladin. It's Superhero Time. I'm XV, and with us this week we have the regular cast of Hey Mickey.
I'm drunk.
Yay. Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hello.
Ken is still in grocery hell, but we have a very special guest this week. One of our, or possibly our very biggest fan, William Bruce West.
Hey.
Coming to us by satellite. So, Will, you're just kind of a general pop culture nerd, and you got kind of a bent on Power Rangers, don't you?
Pretty much. I mean, I used to joke on Twitter that my goal was to be like America's next top black nerd, because I feel like it's a title that no one's going for. I figured it would be an easy race to win.
So, aim high.
Yeah. But I think my expertise, I go back with Rangers ever since that sneak preview, that fateful Saturday back in 1993. And I honestly never thought it would last. Like, I was in the Fox Kids Club, and I got all the magazines with the toy ads. And I'm just thinking, like, this show is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. And then here we are almost 20 years later, and I've seen more episodes and owned more toys than I care to admit.
Yeah, it's kind of stunning how Power Rangers has endured, especially through years
really
like Overdrive.
Is. And you can have conversations with people about it, and that's kind of like my litmus test. Like, there are two pop culture things. If I meet somebody and they say they like Batman, I ask them, who killed Batman's parents? If they say it's the Joker, we have nothing else to talk about. And it's the same thing with, like, Power Rangers. If I mention Power Rangers and your response is, dude, wasn't it so messed up how the black guy was the Black Ranger and the Asian chick was the Yellow Ranger? I'm like, okay, you clearly didn't watch it after, like, season two. We have nothing else to talk about. I love the Rangers. I was Tommy one Halloween. I used to have like a shrine of the toys that guests would see when they'd come to the house. It really got out of control, but I've had it more under control in recent years.
That's what they all say.
We are going to have.
Trick is, you have to meet someone who's worse off than you, and then you really take a look back at your life. Like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen MTV's True Life, and there's the episode about the guy who's really into Power Rangers.
Oh, Lord.
And they make him look so bad. But it's actually kind of cool, because I wrote about this, and I guess he has a Google alert for his name, so he, like, picked up that I wrote about it, and he wrote me this whole, like, cool response about, like, what had really happened behind the scenes, but it's so sad, because he's I want to say he's like 22 in the special, and he's falling for this like 16-year-old, and they're bonding over like their local Power Rangers and going to like conventions and stuff. But you're wondering like, if To Catch a Predator gonna burst through any minute on him? After that, I was like, yeah, I'm not that bad. I could be a lot worse.
Yeah. We're going to have an
excuse to buy more toys.
We're going to have a great time talking about Power Playback this week for sure. Okay, so first the news. Paladin, there's a new Deno movie coming, maybe?
That's the rumor at the moment.
Because we don't have nearly already? Enough. What, Mickey?
Is it Tuesday already?
Very nearly. So, Paladin, tell us about what's going on there.
Well, next year will be Kamen Rider Deno's 5th anniversary, so why not mark that with another movie?
Wow, has it been 5 years of Climax already?
It is the climax that never ends, yes.
We're not doing the song again, so don't even go there.
Oh.
So that website you linked me to before, talking about Legend Rider series Dengasher and something compatible with the old Denliner toys?
Right. Apparently, they're registering trademarks for new Deno merchandise, which could lead to another movie or some other sort of tie-in for the 5th anniversary.
I'm guessing movie, because there's not a spring without Deno in the theater.
Yes. This would make an unprecedented 9 Deno movies.
Well, as soon as Deno had its second movie, it was already unprecedented. It was the first Rider series to get 2 movies in the theater.
Black. Before Deno was Kabuto, right?
Yes.
And so that was Godspeed Love.
Had 2 movies.
What, Fort Max?
Kamen Rider Black had 2 movies.
That doesn't count.
One is Black and one is Black RX.
No.
That doesn't count. That was back in the 80s.
The 80s don't matter.
Fort Max, if it was anything before the time you were born, it doesn't count. Fort Max having been born 2 weeks ago, mind you. Okay, so what else is in the news, Paladin?
Well, we have the first trailer for the Gokaiger vs. Gavin movie.
I still can't believe that's happening.
I'm sure a lot of people feel that way.
I mean, I understand it because it's like, okay, what else can this cross over with that hasn't been done before? Because, you know, Shinkanger kind of saw to Sentai and Riders crossing over. And Gokaiger's doing all the other Sentai, so what's left? But still, Gavin of all things.
Well, it also is going to apparently work as also have the Battle Fever J and Densi Man episodes as of sorts,
because the same actor also played Battle Kenya and Space Sheriff Gavin and
Densi Blue. Blue.
There we go. I couldn't remember the last one.
Yes, it is very incestuous, but that's Japan. Okay, well, the trailer sure has a shiny Gavin suit in it, but that's about it, isn't it?
Well, that's about normal for a trailer.
Yeah, especially...
especially the first one.
The first 15-second trailer.
Yeah, it's interesting just looking at the trailer, noticing the difference between Japanese teaser trailers and American ones. If this is an American teaser trailer, you'd have, like, 1 second of footage that would fade to black and repeatedly for the next 30 seconds.
And that stupid sound effect from Inception, probably.
Yes.
That like bassy rumble thing.
Yeah.
I hate that. Makes my teeth hurt. Damn it, Michael Bay. Every Transformers movie ad had that. And that's all I can think of when I associate with those movies.
Is your teeth falling out of your mouth and into the movie theater floor?
You know, it's a funny story too. I used to have frequent nightmares about my teeth getting stuck together. I would close my mouth a certain way, my teeth would be stuck together, and I couldn't open my mouth back up.
That's lockjaw.
That's weird.
I'm not really sure what that would be representative of in terms of the dream, but every time somebody has a tooth story, I think of that. I'm sorry, what were we talking about?
Well, I think we covered the Gavin trailer already.
Yeah, we spent more time on it than the trailer did, so that's about normal for us. Don't worry, Will, we'll try to get you through Gokaiger and Forze this week pretty quick.
Okay. Well, I think, like, I kind of know what's going on with Gokaiger, and I may know what's going on with Forza. I know as much as you've been telling me. So we'll see what happens.
Well, best of luck with that, Paladin. More news?
Right. The other big thing this week is a casting memo from the agents in charge of the next Power Rangers season saying, we will commence production in 2012 rather than the end of 2011. Because it says here, since we will be celebrating our 20th anniversary in 2013, we have decided to elevate the season's creativity to entirely new heights.
So they're elevating the creativity to new heights by starting later.
Yeah.
Maybe they're hiring writers this time.
I read that, and I thought it was just their way of saying that they didn't like anybody they had seen in auditions.
Well, that is another valid interpretation of it.
Except, considering who they've had in Samurai,
how bad does it have to be for them to not like them?
Or maybe because the guy in charge is such a blatant Sentai fan, they're just going to dub the next series.
See, what I don't get with Samurai is, you know, RPM has some pretty damn good actors who were also from New Zealand. And I'm just wondering why there is this gulf between the quality of RPM's people and Samurai.
Are the Samurai people from New Zealand?
Oh, yeah.
Most of them were from either Australia or New Zealand.
Okay, oh, we can blame Australia.
I know I'd seen people retweet them talking about like flying back and forth from L.A., so I thought they had actually gone back to getting the bright-eyed kids off the bus. And I didn't hear accents peeking through like they used to.
Well, it wouldn't be unprecedented for them to fly in people from the U.S. or Canada. I mean, they did that with SPD.
And they're doing that with Bulk.
Yeah, Bulk. Right. And I know Felix Ryan is in California also, because I've seen some of the stuff he's tweeted. So maybe they should have gotten the New Zealand people for Samurai, and it would have turned out better.
I just blame Saban. Like, I don't think it matters who actually was cast in it. Just something about the way Saban handles that property. And he kind of, not that Disney didn't do it on the cheap, because they sort of ran out of ideas, it felt like, near the end. But, I don't know, I just, something about Saban, I'm going to blame it on him.
Works for me. So I wonder if this means the...
They're horrible ways of doing things, but they're slightly different.
I wonder if this means the demise of the Ultra Mega Force.
Well, everyone
Nothing
seems to be jumping.
Ultra Mega Force.
What, Mickey?
Nothing can kill the Ultra Mega Force.
Oh, okay. What were you saying, Paladin?
Most people are jumping to the conclusion that they're skipping Gosager because of this.
Optimists.
I still maintain that, you know, if you eliminate like all the story elements and, of course, all the Japanese actor bits out of Gosager, what you'd have left in terms of footage would be enough to make a perfectly good series if somebody cared to do it.
But I don't think anyone cares to do it the way Saban is right now.
No, probably not. But even so, it still can't be worse than Gosager was originally.
But can Saban use Gokaiser? Because, I mean, he could use some of the footage, but hasn't... It seems like they're doing almost direct translations now. And seeing as how he skipped maybe 50% of the shows that are featured there, are you just going to have a smaller season, or how do you think he'd handle that?
Well,
that's
did you
a good question.
Did you watch Saban's Masked Rider when it was on, Will?
Oh, yeah, with the crazy colorblind casting of that family that you're not supposed to talk about.
Well, there's that, but that wasn't really my point. No, in the last episode, you know, they had to use the footage from the last several episodes of Black RX where all the previous riders came in to help. And so they just made that the, like, army of past masked rider warriors.
Hmm.
So they can just hand wave it away somehow or another.
Oh, yes.
And Akka Red will be Power Ranger warrior leader.
So who's Warrior Commander?
Go Ranger.
Big One.
Akka Ranger from Go Ranger.
Am I Warrior Theory the whole time?
No, wait. Warrior Leader is Akka Ranger. Warrior Commander is Battle Japan.
But they don't look nearly identical enough.
Well, Warrior Commander was V3.
That's, okay. That's right, because Masked Rider 2 was just also Warrior Leader, depending on how they cut the footage.
So, let's get to what really matters. Which one will Tommy be?
All of them.
Excellent. Or one could be his dead brother, I don't know.
Ooh.
Wait, what, too soon? 10 years?
I don't know. We're making jokes almost every week about the guy driving his Segway off the cliff. I don't think anything's off limits.
Well, considering the Tommy clone running around.
Oh, right, because he's, what, back in the past? And he, I guess he sired Tommy generations later. Like, is that one of those predestination paradoxes where he's basically his own, like, great-great-great-grandfather? Or am I thinking too hard? Saban doesn't do a good job with time travel.
No, not at all.
Powerful enough to sire Tommy is Tommy himself.
Right. That whole thing just kind of gave me a headache. I mean, Power Rangers shouldn't do that to you.
No.
Just the visuals.
Well, anytime they deal with time, I remember, like, the whole Master Vile thing. It's like everyone was turned back into a kid without any kind of parameter whatsoever. So then you're like, who's running this world? The cops are kids, the kids are kids, the teenagers are kids, but then later on, there's somehow... So then I start wondering, like, did it bring the dead back to life? Like, they're all grown-ups when the equation comes. So, like, it's just really, really messy contract.
Man, season 3... Well, really the whole thing, but man, season 3.
Yeah, I checked out during season 3.
See, I thought that's when it started getting good. But looking back at it, because when you really look at it, season 3 is when they kind of start planting the seeds for what I feel is the in-space payoff. Like, you kind of don't have to count it. But, like, season 2 doesn't really matter except that it swaps up the, like, 3 who wanted more money. But... So season 3 is when you really start thinking, like, huh, I should probably watch every episode of this show.
Season 3 is just when they start trying to tell stories for the first time.
Right. And it's also when they really did start making a big deal of, like, Power Rangers miniseries. Even though it's like, Kimberly gets sent to Australia and probably has an affair with her coach. Am I the only one who thought that? I totally thought that's why she left comics. It was like she and Gunther, like, having a May December romance.
Speaking of just off the bus.
There's whole
okay.
thing going on.
Tommy
there.
Couldn't read. He didn't even pick that up in the letter.
Man. Okay.
Don't forget that. Tommy was like the dumbest one of the group.
Communicator? Where's that?
Like, Morpher's always in his bag.
So, do we have any more news, or...
I don't think it can top this.
I finally saw Shinken Red in Toys R Us, because I know you guys have been talking about that, and they did a good job by putting it at the end next to Phineas and Ferb, instead of, like, trying to put it next to Power Rangers to confuse moms and dumb grandmas.
Well, there is some new toy news. There are some case breakdowns for upcoming waves of the 4-inch Ranger figures include standard forms for Samurai Pink and Yellow and Super Mega Mode Samurai Rangers.
God.
They're just going to put the cloak
Super
over.
Mega Mode.
What, Will?
Is there a Japanese precedent? Like, what's Super Mega Mode? Because I know you guys were saying, like, the other power-up, they can only do one at a time. But is there, like, another suit, or is this one of those Bandai wants to sell more toys things?
Well,
in Japan, there's Super Modes where they put the Rangers put on a kimono, basically.
Oh.
And then there's a variation on that where instead of the white, like, waistcoat thing, it's like a blue and red one. For color clashiness. But that only appears a couple of times.
Gotcha.
So there's no telling what they're doing. Now, the big Battleizer Red Samurai Ranger, the package there features a picture of somebody wearing it as a costume. So that's presumably going to appear in the show at some point when it comes back. I don't know if that's going to have a relation, though. I mean, I could see that being a super mega mode since it's built around the mega mode suit.
But, I can't wait to see how that plays out in the show.
I know.
I'm hoping he just stands there and the armor kind of wobbles about while explosions go off.
But I mean, they're just kind of like digging themselves a deeper and deeper hole the way they're going about this now.
Well, that's Samurai, all right.
That's the Bond Power Rangers for you.
Yeah. So anything else in the case assortments, Fort Max?
Not yet.
But related to the toy news, all the new pre-orders for stuff like the Bullzord and Yigazord we talked about.
Oh yeah, those were pulled, weren't they?
Yeah, they've all been pulled from Big Bad Toy Store.
Well, I guess they weren't supposed to put those up yet, or something, I don't know.
Oops.
Spring line is canceled! Well, actually, it could be canceled and to be rebranded with Super Samurai.
Yeah, yeah, we'll get that right after the Dragonzord.
Ooh.
It still hurts, man. It still hurts. Okay, so will that do it for the news?
Please?
I hope.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Thank God.
Well, we had some pretty good conversation in there when we weren't talking about the news. Well, it's that time again.
Oh, Lord.
No, not completely uninteresting. It's probably space time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's almost as bad, but not quite.
I don't think we have completely uninteresting till at least the end of the month. Because that's when I heard they were going to do the Samurai RPM special.
That's not uninteresting. That's train wreck.
I haven't gotten to use the train wreck sound effect in a while either, so I'll have to remember that.
How does okay. that work? Because everybody's dead. Like, how do you explain that? Like, everybody is dead except
everybody's
for that
dead, Dave.
Even Kuchansky? Like,
I mean,
yes,
I
Dave.
Read,
everybody.
I read comics. And I'm offended by the fact that, like, they're bastardizing death more than comics would in the fact that there is no society left. How do you have a happy team up? like, there are fewer people alive than colonized Terra Venture. Like, it bothers me. And, like, everybody acts like it'll probably be some dream sequence or something. But, I mean, that's a terrible trick of a joke for whoever's still in RPM to think that there are people still alive when everyone's dead.
Maybe it involves time travel. We know they're good at that.
Oh, I know. It involves Tommy punching the fabric of reality.
Tommy Prime.
Yeah.
Well, knowing how Samurai's been going with sticking to the plot, it's probably going to involve the different worlds.
Oh, no. We're going to see Samurai Christmas World?
How could this go badly? But anyway, I think it's time for Forze, which is Paladin's Q.
Okay, if you'll all remember 2 weeks ago, Goth Girl got a Zodiart switch but didn't actually use it because the head of the Lunar Witches decides to lock it up until they perform that ritual to wipe away the world.
And then they go half. Then we go half a race.
Okay. I haven't actually watched the episode yet, so this probably makes at least as much sense to me as it does to anybody else.
After that, Gentaro gets hauled away by the evil teacher guy who accuses him of setting the fire in the previous episode.
This isn't the detention teacher, right?
No, it's the other one, the guy with the suspenders.
Okay.
Who immediately lets go of Gentaro when he spots the hot chick.
Well, that seems about right.
The other students are still testifying that it's the witches who are responsible for everything, which, of course, he doesn't believe. Until the witches walk in when he immediately cowers in terror of them.
Well, I mean, what comment is there even to make at that?
And then Yuki goes and whispers something about witches in his ear, scaring him even more.
How informative, Fort Max.
Let's just skip.
Oh, that's the episode. Okay. So Gentaro goes to visit Tomoko at her home and finds her room littered with bugs and crap.
Like literal crap, or...
Probably.
Well, I guess that explains where the bugs came from.
Yes. And Tomoko, of course, freaks out because they're actually seeing her without her goth makeup on. So she immediately runs away.
That's makeup? I thought she just looked like that.
They should have used me.
What did I?
Oh, and we also see an actual parental unit.
Adults exist in this world?
You mean there's someplace other than the school grounds in this world?
Oh, that underpass they use in all the other episodes.
That's not on the school grounds?
Apparently not.
It's next to the school.
Oh, okay. I imagine the school has its own, like, pipe yard and everything, too.
Probably a rock quarry at some point.
Yeah. Well, they would need one to get materials to repair all the buildings that Forze blows up.
That's where all the vote kids go to.
So Tomoko basically states that her desire is to get away from the rest of the world, and Gentaro fulfills that by transforming, rocketing her to the rabbit hutch, and taking her straight to the moon.
Well, I guess that's one way to go about it.
Yes.
Although I can relate to wanting to get away from the world.
Yes.
People are kind of dicks.
The only way out is death.
So Tomoko is inducted into the Rider Club, mostly by force. And then they go to stop the lunar ritual that will burn down the rest of the school.
Eh, why even bother? Just let the school burn. Nothing seems to go right there anyway. If they burn the school down, there won't be any more monster attacks.
You can't really argue with that logic.
Oh, and Gentaro tries to stop this week's Zodiart with a Rider kick before transforming, which is kind of weird.
Well, that...
I guess it doesn't work.
That sounds like something he would do.
Yeah.
I can also see him doing that and then realizing he's forgotten to transform.
And as so the episode winds down, Foes transforms, and Powerdizer handles two of the witches while he handles the Zodiart.
In Fire State, I assume.
Well, he starts off with Elect State, actually, but that doesn't work, so he switches to Fire State.
Because the witches are bug types?
Yes, but then we also find out that Fire State has the Flash Fire ability.
Flash Fire?
It means it's immune to fire attacks and gets stronger when it's hit with them.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
And that's pretty much it this week.
And they defeat Monferno?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
And it does not get a chance to evolve to Infernape.
Oh. I like Infernape the best.
And just as Kengo's about to ask for the unused switch, it gets thrown in the river.
Good job.
It responds by throwing Gentaro and Tomoko into the river.
Well, I probably would too.
And of course, there's no way that switch is going to come back up, possibly ever again, what with being thrown in that river and all. Never going to happen.
Sure. So what happens next week?
Find its way down to the Dragonzord.
Damn it. So what happens next week?
The locker portal to the rabbit hutch gets thrown in the trash.
And Kengo gets stranded on the moon.
And nothing of value is lost.
Oh, and there's a trailer for Movie Wars Megamax.
Is it any more informative than the Gavin trailer?
No.
Okay, then. Well, that was Forze, and again, we did it much faster than Ken ever could have.
Forze, the Ghost Sager of Kamen Rider shows.
It's nowhere near that bad.
Well, I don't think we hated Ghost Sager at first, either.
I think but I realized my hate for it by episode 8.
But, no, I would say Forze is at least not offensive, even if it's not all that interesting.
I don't dread it, I just don't exactly look forward to it each week either.
I'd much rather get Gokaiger released first in the subs than Forze. Because then when Forze comes up, it's like, how much longer do I gotta wait for the show I really want to watch? Speaking of which...
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
Wall's guilty.
Mickey, you want to take this one?
Sure, I can blow through real quick.
That's what she said.
Last week where we left off, Marvel subjected the crew, crashed the ship, and was maybe dead, but the preview said, oh no, he's not, he's fine.
It's just a flesh wound.
So, picking up where we left off, Walt Gill goes back home to the Zangek fleet to gloat.
And probably have some wine.
He's awesome. He goes back home to his turkey dinner and rice noodles. Meanwhile, back on Earth, I'm, Luca, and Doc are in a forest. And they quickly meet up with Guy while Joe goes off to fight Barazorg, predictably.
Of course.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So, blah, blah, blah.
blah, 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 Digimon, blah, blah, Pretty Cure?
Yes. Guy complains about not being allowed to stick with Marvel till he dies. Because, well, Guy's a moron.
It's okay, his self-insertion fanfic powers will keep him safe.
That's the reason Guy's mad, he didn't write this part.
So while they're bickering about why they should have stayed to die, Joe blows the hell up out of Barazorg, finally.
Thank you for including the up.
It's touching and heartwarming and tragic, I guess. I don't know. Who cares?
And then Joe says that he says to himself, I hope you're still alive, Marvelous, which to that I can only imagine the next line would be, because I'm going to kill you when I find you. Because, you know, he was a bit upset about getting thrown out, too.
Yeah. Joe certainly seems to be the least stable of the Gokaider cast.
I blame the haircut.
Yeah.
Nobody normal has hair like that.
So, meanwhile, Captain Marvel is having a fever dream where he's talking to the ghost of of Aqua Red, rather, debating about what it means to be a pirate and protecting and blah, blah, blah.
And Aqua Red sure does sound like Amuro Ray.
Although only he's not in a Gundam.
Well, not right now. They have to save that for the end of the series.
Yeah. And so they already killed a Char, so...
So while Marvelous is hallucinating about Aqua Red, Joe is hallucinating about his Sid. Not lover, obviously.
Of course.
Just good friend.
Oh, Japan.
Special friend.
Special heterosexual non-penis related friend.
That's an intro quote. What, Will?
I was saying we play tennis at the club.
Nice.
So, Navi, proving how great she is, little parrot girl, she wakes up Marvelous and says, you know, well, I was stayed to help you fight.
By which I mean run away. But Marvelous seems to approve of this plan. Or he might just still be hallucinating, who can say.
He does probably have a concussion by this point.
Yeah.
So back in space, the Zangek realize that Barazorg is dead, so Walt's Gill freaks the f*** out. And sends down some putties to solve this problem, proving that he's not terribly competent.
Well, it is Gil.
Yes.
He's entertaining, but he's not great.
So the Gokaigers reunite, and they kick the dump troops' ass. Hmm. And it's supposed to be all inspiring because they're all back together and they're a team now, but really it's pretty...
It's still dumb troops, so...
Yeah.
Even against the Red Guard, it's kind of plain.
Yeah, so the Gokaigers grab Marvelous's ass, and Guy busts out all the six Ranger powers at once. And then it's Mecha time, which is pretty much the whole point of this whole episode.
Yeah.
Everything else was just kind of filler.
Well, so is the first part of the Mecha battle.
Well, just reminding people of toys they might not have bought yet.
Which there will be on heavy
attacks that are no longer effective.
Yeah. Hey kids, these toys will be on discount pretty soon.
Because they're not useful anymore.
Of course, the one they didn't pull out was Gao Lion.
Too much CGI.
Yeah, I guess. And I guess it's too complicated to turn it into Shinken Gokaiyo.
And plus, if they use Shinken Gokaiyo, it'd be kind of hard to play off the Rekka Desanto hitting him, because how the hell is that not going to hurt?
Well, it'll just be Walt guilty again, and, you know.
But thankfully, Gowanger is here to save the day, and Macaulkin shows up, and we finally get the combination between Guju, whatever, and Gokaiyo.
The one that we're supposed to have.
Yes.
Instead of just a dumb arm swap.
The theoretically more interesting one.
So Gokaiyo gets a hat wearing with swords stuck in the top of it.
And a hand that glows with burning justice.
Ah, G Gundam.
Yes.
Well, their morpher is voiced by Domo.
Domo,
so.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend I know what that means.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
I'm sure nobody that's what our guest is doing.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to blow through this quickly, because it's like, you know, get a book.
So, long story short, Drill Slash, Rocket Punch, and Walt's Gill's mecha blows up.
Walt's not guilty.
Oh.
It just wasn't enough.
Oh, God.
Not even gonna
killed Christmas with that, Max.
I'm not even gonna dignify that with an insult.
Even Wingus wouldn't do that one.
And he's the Pungeon Master. So,
in the story, Gokaigers are all happy and smug. They find their own ultimate power of cluster. And
their ultimate power is making their dreams come true, which is completely different.
Of course it is.
Yes. Damaris is sad that he let Walt's Gill die, but Walt's Gill is still alive and crawling out from the rubble. The end.
No, he wasn't crawling out from the rubble. Damaris was carrying
his
charred body out from the wreckage of the Megazord.
Oh, whatever. It's all the same shit.
I'm pretty sure he is dead now.
It's the second episode in which he had the giant robot, so of course he's dead.
The thing that gets me about this, though, is that Ultimate Gokaiyo's final attack is just a rocket punch. It seems kind of bland. I don't know.
Well, most Gokaiger mecha battles are pretty bland.
I guess. I kind of want something.
Unless they have robots tripping over the other Rangers.
I kind of wanted something more like, you know, a Gowanger finisher. With lots of CGI and stuff flying, you know.
Checkered flag.
That'd be a nice touch, too, you know.
Anyway, oh, well. Next week, we get the Gokaigers doing their in-space tribute.
Yay, Mega Ranger.
In a high school.
Yeah, because Mega Ranger wasn't in space at all. Oh, well.
And Bosco's back.
Oh, well. Bosco's back and completely unnotable because he has no more Ranger keys.
Just a monster form.
That's not... damn monkey. Bosco's monster form isn't nearly as scary as just Bosco himself.
Unfortunately, the monster form will probably see Figo Arts.
Bosco's a lot like Norman Osborn in the first Spider-Man movie.
Where he's a lot scarier without the goblin costume?
Yes.
Well, that actor's frightening in everything he does, so...
And plus, when you add in the Norman Osborn hair.
Well, that doesn't really help anything, does it? Okay, then.
I've never got why people like the Green Goblin. He's lame.
Well, so is that movie.
And the next one, and the one after that, too.
And probably the one after that.
Oh, I imagine so, because it doesn't look any different from the first three.
I only say probably because it's not out yet.
Exactly.
I feel like I should like the third movie just because it's so awful, but I can't.
It's a shame Sony has the rights to Spider-Man, because if the Marvel in-house studio did one, it'd be fantastic. I mean, look what they did with Captain America. How hard was that to make good?
Yeah, they tried three times before that and failed.
Those were fantastically awful, too.
Spectacular failures.
I need to go rewatch that mid-90s one again. Just because I can.
And y'all give me shit about liking Catwoman.
Well, we should.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the fastest we've ever gone through the news and the weeklies before. So,
cancel out with power playback.
Yay. Well, we'll Well, we'll see, but first let's take a break.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on the street, Fighter 3.
And now back to action with Superhero Time.
Some was Power Rangers.
Right, so Power Playback this week is from Season 3 of Power Rangers, The Sound of Discordia, which, besides being the only appearance of the Shogun Ultra Zord, to me just seems kind of like the perfect storm of everything that Season 3 is about all at once.
Both good and bad.
Well, I did say everything it's about, so... So this episode basically revolves around Kat and Aisha trying to do some school spirit song or something and not sounding that great at rehearsal.
Still better than Glee.
I wouldn't know. I don't watch Glee. And for some reason, Tommy is watching the practice.
Tommy likes to watch.
Nice. However, the scene is saved by Bulk and Skull arriving, singing also, and destroying... What?
Before we get into that, do you know kind of bothered how quickly Tommy moved on from Kimberly to Kat?
Like, before
well,
she even...
You could tell he wanted to anyway, but he didn't want to be that guy. So he was kind of really, like, off the hook when she started, I presume, dating her gymnastics coach.
But it's like, Kim's gone, okay, time to f***ing someone else.
Guess that nickel was burning a hole in his pocket.
Oh,
I can't let Rocky get any of this shit.
Rocky didn't get any. Poor Rocky.
Yeah, really.
Shut down by that nerd and Zio, too.
Yeah, and then he... Girl. And then he busted his back and got replaced by a little kid. What did Rocky ever do to piss off the universe?
He pretended to be Jason.
Not very well, either. So, anyway, the scene in the rehearsal is saved by Bulk and Skull arriving, singing their own song, and destroying doors left and right. That must be some really crappy glass to be resonating at that frequency.
Well, so, you know... With the strength that Bulk and Skull can chew scenery, no type of glass would stand up to that.
Yeah. It's amazing, too, that that music room had two doors, both with giant glass panels in the middle.
But with as often as Angel Grove is attacked, you'd invest in breakaway glass, too. Like, it really just... It's not even, like, cost-effective to get the good stuff anymore. Like, here comes the Dragon Sword again.
Eventually, yeah, I'm just gonna run. They're gonna switch to wax paper.
I feel like Angel Grove's like Metropolis. Like no insurance company will go near it. They're like moon.
Yes, but the construction industry is probably booming in Angel Grove.
Well, the insurance industry will go there. They'll just find ways to not pay anyone.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll start deeming monster attacks acts of God. Which, you know, would get the religious segment all up in arms, too, obviously. But yeah, I kind of dig that. You know, Angel Grove High School is just poor at this point, so they're pouring out sugar glass to fill the doors with.
all of their kids are like 27 years old. They don't have an alumni.
Well, not all of them. Some of them are like 40. One of them's like 40, so.
Right.
They're
I just point out, too, like, I don't know what this is going to say about me, but like watching this episode, I forgot how like hot Billy got. And like, I'm straight. But like, when you look at first season where it's like, oh, I'm nerdy and I wear overalls. And then second season where it's like, yeah, I just came from the tanning booth. You're like, is this the same character? Like, he goes everywhere in muscle shirts and he has contacts now. And I'm just like, wow, that he's the biggest transformation of the entire show.
Hmm. Billy Henshins into a hotter, gayer self. But yeah, yes, I will back that up. Aside from his extremely receding hairline, he does look progressively better throughout the seasons.
I really wanted them to make it a plot point. Like, I don't know if you guys ever watched The Real Ghostbusters, but the fact that, like, Janine changes every season, and then finally they actually address it, and it's the fact that she had, like, this fairy godmother ghost that was, like, altering her appearance every couple years just so she'd be more attractive to Egon. Like, I wanted them to do something like that with Billy. Yeah, like right before the show ends, it's one of the ABC, like, once it becomes, like, Slimer in The Real Ghostbusters, you find out, like, why she lost her Brooklyn accent, like, why she doesn't look anything like she looked during the first season.
Huh. Because that always really pissed me off, because I loved how she looked in the first season. I hated all her looks after that.
Yeah, I remember that episode. It was really good.
It was. I want Billy to be the same situation. Like, maybe the Zio crystal was, like, affecting his... Like, it was like, giving everyone a Queer Eye makeover.
Unfortunately, the closest thing you got to that was toward the end of Zio, where he got turned into an old man.
Right. Well, it was his dumb fault for jumping on the console. I don't know what sense he thought that made.
What was that last part, Will?
It was his fault for jumping on the console. Like, that made no sense. Like,
right.
The computers are blowing up. Let me jump on them. He never stopped to think, like, let me unplug them. Maybe I should get the hell out of here.
He was hoping to die.
He knew he didn't want to wear yellow. Like, he had done the math, and he's like, wait a minute. The only crystal left is that damn yellow one. I don't want the sequel sign helmet.
Billy just didn't want to live in a world where Zordon and Alpha were dead.
Or he didn't want to go down to the basement for the power chamber.
Don't that start too. That shit again.
Hey, at least I didn't do it this time. Though I was thinking it. Okay, so anyway, where were we in the episode?
Still in the music room, Vulcan Skull.
I think, yeah, about glass breaking in the music room from their singing.
So I think it was about that time that we switch over to the villain lair, where they get the idea to make a monster that, if they want to sing, they're just going to be singing all the dance. Oh, wait, no, that was next year. No, they're going to use the power of singing against the Power Rangers. And so you get this weird spiky monster that looks like it has absolutely nothing to do with sound.
Right.
Well, weirder things have happened.
With a Mae West personality.
Yeah.
Which is one of those references that would just go over kids' heads. Like, that's one of those things where you're, like, watching it with your grandpa. Your grandpa's like, that weird-looking thing sounds like Mae West! And you look back, you're like, why don't you just die, grandpa?
All right. But still, you know, weirder things have come up, like that monster that was a flasher.
Oh, the one held the eyes?
Yeah.
Or the taxi cab monster.
Oh, God, that one's terrible.
The taxi...
Even for, like, Power Rangers.
The taxi wheelchair monster.
What if Professor X was from New York?
But no, I always thought the monster with all the eyes was weird, because it's obviously just, you know, a flasher with a bunch of eyes on the inside. You know.
Rather than just one?
Yeah. So anyway,
So Lord Zed sprouts a massive boner for this new monster.
That's gotta hurt with that metal codpiece on, too.
Rita is unhappy.
Well, she's always unhappy.
Just wait until Thrax is born.
And amazingly, Discordia actually sings worse than Tommy does next year.
And worse than Bulk and Skull.
Well, she doesn't go around breaking any doors, though.
Okay, so at this point in the episode, I kind of tuned out. And so why the hell did they end up going to a carnival?
Carnival?
Probably because it was there.
Yeah, there's like wacky flailing inflatable tubes everywhere.
I must have fell asleep through that part. I don't remember that at all.
I don't remember carnival.
I think that's just the talent show thing.
Well, okay.
At
first they don't specify if it's for the town or if it's for the school. And that really threw me for a loop, because one thing that's bothered me is, when did Bulk and Skull graduate from high school? Because
they didn't.
It seems like they're in school, and then they basically drop out to become the junior police patrol.
They graduate at the same time the rest of the cast does, first episode of Turbo.
Except that they're...
if they weren't turned into monkeys.
Right.
So this is basically like ROTC, only instead of the army, they get to be cops. So they're still in school.
Maybe they get school credits for the time they spend with the police.
Maybe the school find it's more beneficial to have them not be in class.
Yes, this isn't like an official program. It's just like, if you guys want to take these guys off our hands for a while, you know, we'll just pass them.
Right, because we never really see any others. Like, you do when they're in the academy or whatever, but then I guess the others were shipped over to be like the Silver Guardians or whatever.
Or, more frighteningly, Bulk and Skull were just the only ones who didn't wash out. No, everybody else was smart and requested assignments in like Stone Canyon or someplace that doesn't get attacked every other day. Bulk and Skull were just
Stone Canyon. Forgot about that.
Yeah, everybody forgets about Stone Canyon, including the characters that are supposed to have lived there.
Exactly. That's a question I have for later on in this episode, but we gotten there yet.
Okay, so the next part I remember is inside, I guess it's Aisha's house, where they're practicing more.
And well, except it's also Greeny's house and Kimberly's house, and,
Yeah. Okay, well, so
That's my question, because I thought when the three ninjas move from Stone Canyon to Angel Grove, we all know that basically none of the ranger parents give a shit about their kids. But, did the parents move with them, too? Because I thought that Aisha was staying with Kim. But then Kim leaves, and then Kat stays with Aisha. Does that mean Mrs. Hart has two random girls living with her
who aren't
her blood relations?
No. Remember earlier in the season, Kim's mother moved to France with her new husband and left Kim in California.
Oh, right. So then who? Okay, so we're in Aisha's house. Is Kat staying with Aisha? Because did Kat's parents ever come from Australia? Like, is there a milk carton in Australia? Like, hey, our daughter turned into a cat and now she's not here anymore. So,
wasn't that an episode of Round the Twist?
No parents living with Aisha, and then when Aisha decides to just randomly move to Africa, which may have even been 20 years ago, because people forget that they went through time and space.
And so then like, Tanya was staying with Kat.
Right.
Right! Who's paying the rent? Where?
Aisha's parents.
The funny thing is that I was actually thinking about all this as it was happening in the original broadcast. I'm like, okay, whose house is this now, technically, you know?
It really, because the thing with the Zeo crystal is, it wasn't necessarily, it's in Africa. It could theoretically be, like, Africa 20 years ago. So Aisha could be, like, 40 years old by now, which was weird when, like, Tanya's parents resurfaced, because they could have been, like, 100. Because we don't know. I just assumed they went back to like the 70s, but we never knew what time period they were in when they landed in these different places for the crystal.
we were talking before about Saban's time travel problems, right?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
This is why.
This is it. Well, okay, also back to, let's not even care whose house it is. Just get that off the table. The fact that they're brazen enough to morph on the front lawn of Suburbia, as like, and it's not even like it was a quiet monster. I'm pretty sure everyone was looking out their window because it was making all this noise.
Well, how is this any worse than when they go into the hallway just outside the main room of the youth center and morph at full volume?
I figure the youth center has no, like, closed-circuit cameras.
And morph at full volume in the school.
Yeah, but they're, the only kids in the school, so there's, where the hell is those six again?
Maybe everyone at Angel Grove already knows the secret, and they're just kind of, like, pretending that they don't know.
Well, except for Bulk and Skull.
Right.
It's true, because, you know, they probably go into the Gap, and, like, they immediately point Tommy over to the white clothes. He's like, how do you know I like white? They're like...
So...
Secret identities just were not handled very well in this, any more than the time travel was. In theory, they're supposed to be keeping their identity secret, but they're really doing a bad job of it.
I always wanted, like, and I say this a lot, but I always wanted, like, a Saturday afternoon syndicated show, like, version of Rangers, that would take it up to, like, the next age bracket, so you really wouldn't have to worry about it being, like, a good example for kids. And, like, I'd like to see what would really happen. Because if you're in high school and you can morph, you're using that to get some tail. Plain and simple. But Saban couldn't show us that. He showed us one kiss throughout his entire run. And I wanted to know what would happen if you just kind of aged it up a bit.
Hmm.
And I just killed you all.
Yeah, a little bit. I think we're just kind of trying
on the
to...
inside.
Well, the show did that a long time ago, Paladin.
We're all just thinking of Slash Pick at the moment.
I know Japan stepped it up a notch with Chi-Chi Ranger.
Oh, please don't mention that again.
I don't want to know what that is.
Did it have CGI boobs like that other thing you guys were talking about?
No, theirs were real. Or most of them, probably.
Moving right along.
The fighting on the lawn.
Yes, this is one of those other, like, recurring elements through Season 3 where they're just fighting on the street in some neighborhood somewhere. They don't even bother going to, like, the park anymore.
That's what I was thinking.
Well, the parks aren't requiring permits.
Yeah, maybe they're... What?
Maybe they closed the rock quarry and they can't film there anymore.
Right.
Well, they didn't have the rock quarry. They had the beach.
Well, whatever. The point is, for most of Season 3, all they did was fight outside of houses somewhere in the suburbs. Which just seemed really...
Or out on the lake. Or out by the lake, so...
Yeah, there was that every once in a while.
I like to think that there's some kind of focus study going on somewhere that says kids could relate more to fighting in suburbia than, you know, random rock quarries. So they should fight there more often.
Now, was I the only one who felt this way when, like, they go out the house and they see the monster, and all of a sudden, Cat's like, it's morphin' time. I'm like, hold up, who's this bitch? Like, you gotta earn that. Like, you're just the same ranger. you don't get to call that.
How else do you think
back.
She earned it?
Like, you stand back and you watch how it's done. Aisha, show her how it's done. It's like, seriously, I feel like there should have been, like, a training process. And, like, how does she know that it was time to go straight to a morph? Maybe it was time for the Ninjetti powers, huh? She just went right to the morph.
Ugh, Ninjetti. It's never time for Ninjetti.
Yeah, that was one thing that they left out of this episode, the Ninja Ranger powers. Too bad.
Which is fine, because clan leader Tommy always kind of roped me the wrong way. Especially when they, like, covered the faces. It's okay in the movie, but it's terrible in the show because they have to mask the stunt people.
Oh, dear.
How did I never not notice that before? It seems so obvious now.
Just one of those things that just goes right over your head. Okay, well, that makes the toy a little more unfortunate too, doesn't it?
Okay, so it's dancing time.
The original dance-off.
The original dance-off?
Yeah, before the reversion dance-offs.
So yeah, the monster's power is apparently to make people dance uncontrollably. And really terribly.
I wonder if the monster had the same power in Kaku Ranger.
I severely doubt it.
It surprised me.
I was actually questioning whether the monster in Kaku Ranger was supposed to be female. Well, the suit does not especially look it, does it?
Not terribly, no.
No.
It could go either way.
Insert your mom.
Because it really did look sort of like Darkonda. Or not Darkonda, the other thing that went against Darkonda, and they had their whole, like, epic honor battle. I'm forgetting my in space now.
Total Eclipse.
Darkonda's the guy who looks kind of like a holodeck, right? And then there's the other guy.
No, Ecliptor looked like the holodeck.
You had it right.
Yes, Ecliptor was the holodeck, so I am thinking of Darkonda.
So why didn't we ever get this one in season 3?
Ah!
Well, I guess that's why.
Kaku Ranger is kind of weird.
Kinda?
They made a rubber suit of your mom.
At 1/8 scale.
We're missing the best part! The metallic armor! Just so they could sell more toys.
Oh, the metallic armor.
Oh, God,
armor.
Metallic sequined armor.
Oh, boy.
Whoa. I assume that the metallic armor of the show was made directly to reference the Chrome toys.
I guess.
Which they brought in for the movie, right?
Probably, yeah.
They were movie branded, yeah.
Right, those are the only movie Rangers we get besides the ninja suit. Like, they never actually made the movie suit in 5-inch.
Right.
Well, they didn't want them tearing.
Oh, those suits were designed so badly, weren't they?
Well, they were designed well. They were built badly.
And used badly, especially with the White Ranger stunt actor.
Nothing contained Tommy's crotch. It'll bust through any material you put on for it.
And that's why he's his own grandpa.
The movie is just a shame they put all that work into it, not for it to be canon. I mean, like, I guess they couldn't expect every kid in the world to go see it, but then they went and expected that from Turbo.
That was ever seen.
What'd you say?
They made the movie twice, pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, Power Rangers.
But then they turned around, and they did expect everyone to see Turbo. Because, like, Turbo's a ripoff where it's like, hey, watch this clip show that you just paid $11 to see.
And then like, they put Turbo in all three theaters throughout the country.
Yeah.
I saw it, like, three times in the theater.
Oh, dear God.
I saw it once. Theater.
You gotta think about how this hindsight is 2020. Back then it was like another Power Rangers movie, you know? And plus the first one wasn't bad. You didn't really know they'd be filming this one on a show budget.
Well, it wasn't entirely on the show budget, but it certainly wasn't nearly what they did for the first movie.
This one, they actually had their own Zord on. Yeah, because there was no way it could have been done on the show budget, because they had a bunch of new sets, they had excellent monster suits, they had their own Zord fight, they didn't use any Car Ranger footage at all.
And apparently all the cool new stuff they had, like the Megazord suit and the cockpits and stuff, remained the property of Fox Movie Studio, and they couldn't use them again.
Well,
oops.
The sets were all, but they still used the suits in the show.
When did they use the American Turbo Megazord suit?
Let's see. There was that one scene where they were catching the car.
That's right. Okay, so they use it like, what the hell, Mickey?
Sorry, that's Ben's phone.
But I mean, it's no different than on all the other suits that were first used in the movie, like that Alpha suit or the various monsters.
Yeah, I forgot they used that suit that one time.
Look, the important thing about the Turbo movie is that it gave us Divatox. That's all that matters.
The good Divatox,
too. I just think if they give us Malagor, and then they have the audacity to bring him back as Dark Spectre and not expect us to notice.
Well,
if I've been watching this show this long, you could at least put a mustache on him or something.
He obviously pointed out in his first appearance that he looks like Dark Spectre looks like Malagor.
Yeah, right. I mean they were aware that
Divatox mentions that he asked if anyone's ever told him that he looks like her old fiance.
Right.
Divatox was so great.
I just like Divatox for the boobs, and then she comes to the show, and they, like, cover them up. And then we get the replacement Divatox, and then I just stop caring.
No. In the show, the first show Divatox was the replacement Divatox.
Right. You're right.
Now, Divatox is great because she chews scenery better than any other Power Ranger villain.
My problem with Divatox, and I've said this on Twitter, too, is, like, I would love to see Turbo post 9/11, because when you get down to it, Divatox is just a terrorist.
Yeah.
Like, all she does is place bombs in random places to kill lots of people, and it's the Ranger's job to find it before those people die. Like,
yeah, pretty
things
much.
Do change in season 2, but season 1 is really just like every episode is 24.
Yeah. I actually noticed that too. I mean, that has occurred to me over the years. That just wouldn't be cool anymore.
It wouldn't, because, like, she puts them in parks. She puts them in, like, school buses. I'm just making stuff up.
Scoreboards.
Yeah.
Instead, they phased that out, and we got the giant pizza.
Well, fortunately, we have traffic signals to stop such things. But we were talking about season 3 at some point here. Also, I did finally find that the monster in this episode was female in Kaku Ranger.
Oh.
But apparently did not have any particular, like, you know, song and dance powers.
So we left off with the metallic sequin armor.
Yes.
Which apparently makes them move, like, 3 times faster.
But they're not red.
Well, one of them is. That counts for something, right? You know, I kind of wish for the metallic armor they would have, like, chromed the helmets or something.
They did for yellow. She turns gold.
Well, just because
she's the only one you can really tell on half the time. Like, it really depends on the lighting. But she, like, yeah, she does turn gold.
Of course, it'll just fall apart later because she's gold, but whatever.
But, yeah, I mean, they should have done something to make the metallic armor look more distinctive from the regular suits. Because it really does require having enough light on it from the right angles to really catch.
They should have used some kind of, like, lame or something to make them out of.
Or just, you know, made, like, more White Ranger shields to put on all of them and not even change the base costumes.
It's just made them out of metal.
The Ranger shields.
What, Fort Max? What, Fort Max?
Or give them Green Ranger shields.
Quilt.
Or make the entire uniform a quilt.
Well, at least they didn't end up like the Dark Rangers from last year.
Oh, boy.
I don't remember that.
Good.
It was the biggest waste of time ever. That was another episode that had really wacky time travel science. So they, like, you know, metallic armor, and then they're, like, beating the monster's ass in high speed. And then they tell
it to
just...
But then they have the audacity to power down. I was like, what's that all about? Like, at that point, I really just expected the monster to beat their asses again. Like, it wasn't like he was on the ropes. It was just cocky.
Yeah, really, as soon as they powered down, she should have started them dancing again. Just to prove that Tommy is not very bright.
Well, also another part of that where it's like, okay, they're watching Tommy about to surrender his coin. Zordon and Alpha are watching Tommy about to surrender his coin. Why not teleport Tommy out of there? Like, you could have gotten a lock on him. You know why? He's holding his coin.
Because Zordon's a dick.
And probably a little senile, too.
Alpha was watching his stories instead of the Rangers.
No, he was vacuuming again.
That they took advice from Zordon.
No, because he was vacuuming at the time. Because remember, they only have one outlet, so they can't have the computer and the vacuum plugged in.
The command center has the best technology that 1962 could buy.
That shit was really advanced 10,000 years ago.
Really? I mean, you look around and you expect to see, like, a reel-to-reel machine somewhere. Punch cards.
What always got me, though, is the fact that they take advice from him. I mean, sure, you're kind of awed that it's this giant head in a tube, but when you really look across, like, all the incarnations, most mentors were never Rangers. And the fact that, like, he told how he found the coins in the park. Like, if I found the gun in the park, would that make me a cop? Like, but they just assume, like, oh, well, I guess he knows what he's doing.
No, no, it wouldn't make you a cop. It would make you qualify to be in charge of all the cops.
Exactly. And then even when Mentor comes back, they're not like, oh, hey, sorry, bro, here's your coins back. It's like, don't find your keepers. I'm in charge. Because I remember that footage. Lord knows, I guess it's from Zoo Ranger, but it's like the technicolored guy with, like, the tricorder hat just tracing through the woods. And, ooh, there's some coins. I'm going to hold on to these because maybe some teenagers will find my house one day.
You're making this sound kind of like Hansel and Gretel.
No, Saban made it sound like Hansel and Gretel. I'm just pointing it out.
So
have they called the Zords yet? Oh, yes. And they do that crazy, like, arm thing.
They had a lot of crazy arm things starting in season 2.
But first they make the monster grow.
Though, but I also wondered, like, are they able to call the Zords without doing that?
No.
No, because remember, in the last episodes of season 2, first episodes of season 3, they have American footage and they're still doing the same roll call poses.
Yeah. So apparently that's just necessary now.
I thought the Zords were deaf and they were, like, fine for them.
So we start off with the Shogun Zords, but apparently that's not enough, so they have Billy call in the Ninja Zord 2, and then Ninjar shows up.
And then it all just went off the rails.
Ninjar always shows up when he's not trapped in a bottle.
And then I totally forgot how much of a, like, gay uncle Ninjar is. Where he's, like, doing, like, really in the Broadway, like, hello, I'm here.
He's totally do right.
I've never heard of Ninjor described as a gay uncle before.
My friend and I used to call him that a lot, actually. Same thing with Slabber. It's that, like, it's the stereotypical, not like, oh, that's gay, that's dumb, but very much like birdcagey. He's very dramatic.
I'm here to be the center of attention.
Well, that's exactly why you're on this show, Mickey. too much?
That was a setup, wasn't it?
It's always a setup.
But yes, Ninjar was terrible and horrible, and he sucked. And he sucks in Kaku Ranger, too, just in different ways.
That's why he doesn't have a Ranger key.
Aww.
So anyway, they do have a pretty good Zord fight, Ninjar notwithstanding.
Well, a pretty drawn-out Zord fight, anyway.
Well, this was, like, one of the
last
big finale Zord fights from Kaku, so...
Yeah, it was one of the last episodes.
So, of course, you're going to have a slightly more... So you're going to have a somewhat interesting Zord fight, at least.
Probably. Some series don't.
So, in Kaku Ranger, they brought forth Titanus as well?
No, hell no.
That would be fantastic if they had, though. Well, at least they didn't build the Shogun Ultra Zord around Tor.
They should put Tor inside Titanus.
I don't think you can.
Or then do it the other way around.
It probably has a better chance of working. Yeah, the Shogun Ultra Zord. One of the, like, what were they even thinking moments? Well, what we know they were thinking about selling toys. But, I mean, just...
And the Shogun Ultra Zord is pretty much like the summary of all Season 3 to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, we're in the last parts of Season 3 here before they switch to Alien Ranger, so we're, like, getting everything Season 3 has to offer all at once.
Let's just not even hide the fact we're trying to sell toys. Let's just film toys and air that as a TV show.
And, you know, the bad thing about it is that if they would have filmed it at a different frame rate, it would not have looked as jarringly different from the regular Zord footage. You know,
I
they did it
from the painted the pink Zord. Like, that's the giveaway right there.
Well,
like, otherwise, they could have been like, oh, maybe they got a model from Japan, but the lightning bolt stickers and the pink Zord give it away.
Well, and Titanus,
let me tell you from experience, painting the pink Zord white is not fun. They probably didn't want to do that.
I'm surprised they couldn't just get a Muteki Shogun toy to go along with
all
the other
Japanese
props.
Well, here's the thing. Remember, they were using the... I don't remember if they were using... Well, they were using the Bandai America toys for the Dino Zord to Thunder Zord sequence, too.
You know, they probably wanted to use the American toys because that's the toy that they're selling.
I guess. And obviously they really didn't care that much anyway. You know... I'm just saying, though, if they would have slowed the frame rate of the Shogun Ultra Zord sequence down a little bit, you know, it would have given it more of the sense of scale it needed to make it look huge instead of just a toy rolling through a foggy bunch of
rocks. Well, I think it's not slowing the frame rate down. I think it's more the they were just having the moving the toys faster and the and decided that, okay, we're just going to turn on the put batteries in Titanus, turn it on and let it go and
But no, I mean if you think back to the original Ultra Zord stock footage, you know, that kind of lumbered along a little bit slowly and it made it seem like it was huge and couldn't move that fast.
But whereas you know what's this, even
what?
Go ahead, finish.
I assume that was gonna be a your mom joke. But you know, the Shogun Ultra Zord is just kinda like chugging along like it's nothing. Also like your mom.
And you know what's even more jarring than the pink arm on the Shogun Ultra Zord?
Your mom?
Well, there's that, but also the f***ing Dragon Zord chest piece that just appears out of nowhere.
Well, didn't a dummy Dragon Zord chest piece come with the Return of Titanus?
Yes.
Yes.
So
however,
at least
for
at
the Shogun Ultra Zord, they're using the Dragon Zord's actual chest piece.
Well, you know, that's what they had around to play with, but at least it's not like something the toy didn't come with to replicate. Even if it wasn't the electronic one.
Yeah, and also it didn't have the separate black part. You also couldn't use it in the staff for the Dragon Zord fighting mode.
You know what would have been awesome? Is instead of getting a Return of Titanus, we got like Ninja Titanus, where they remolded him to be like Ninja. Like we got Space Titanus.
But what would a remold to be Ninja consist of, exactly?
A black
Didn't
hood.
Just wear a bandana?
Well, they'd replace the neck with Shuriken or something. Put a, like, Shuriken or something where the neck goes. Or
no, but see, that actually would have been perfect to use Tor instead of Titanus, because then it would have been, you know, a Ninja Turtle.
Did Titanus ever come out? Like,
yeah.
Was that actually
it was a Toys R Us exclusive, wasn't it?
I'm not sure. I had one.
That explains
Because I know
a
it's
lot.
In the booklet. It's in the booklet, but like Rita was in the booklet too, because I still have those things. So,
well, let's
I just thought it never came out.
Let's consult with John Green's toy guide, because if the information's anywhere, it's there.
It was never in the show, and we should all thank God for that.
No, that it would have been awesome if it was in the show.
It would have been at least hilarious if it was in the show.
They should have used the toy in the show.
What would it roll on there in space?
It would have rolled on the space ground or something. I don't know.
Hey, if there's air in space, there can be ground too.
Yeah.
And plus, how many of the Zord battles were in space anyway?
What, two?
True.
Counting the time they nailed the guy in the crotch?
Deluxe
I nailed
Silver
your mom in the crotch.
Deluxe Silver, this does not actually have any exclusive markings on it. So this may have actually been general release, amazingly.
I thought it was, because it's in the normal Bandai guide, and they didn't put the exclusives in there.
It's frightening.
No, this is fantastic. You know, when you take the neck off and replace it with a space shuttle, it actually does look like kind of a spaceship with giant treads. And back feet.
But you realize, of course, that inside it really wouldn't be built like a space shuttle. It'd be built like a city bus. Because that apparently is how Nasada builds their shuttle.
And, you know, then you plug the...
a hollowed-out Dragon Zord chest piece somewhere.
Well, no, they replaced that with the, you know, the giant phallic Mega V3 missile.
Well, no, they replaced it with the shuttle part that can hold the giant phallic Mega V3 missile.
Well, as long as there's some way to put your phallus, we're fine.
But enough about your mother.
So with this Zord battle, was like... I noticed this originally, but it still bothers me, the perspective of the Shogun Mega Falcon Zord, in the sense that, okay, you see it in his eye, so you assume that it's flying towards him. But then he turns around, and it's actually flying towards what was his back. And then his arms separate, and then it's all of a sudden behind him the way it would need to be to form up the sequence. It's a cool sequence, but it makes no sense.
Well, no. See, the thing with the Falcon Zord in its eye is just the Megazord's ESP. You know, it senses the Falcon Zord behind it because it's kind of like a new type thing. Then it turns and sees it, and it throws its arms off so that it can, you know, do unnatural things to it.
So it can back hump it. But the thing is, like, it'll be fine if it didn't turn around. You know, just like I'm cool with it in the eye, but when you turn around, you're now facing it, which means the gun thingies are going behind you.
Well, that wouldn't work very well.
You're thinking more than the writers did.
I'm not really sure how I ever felt about
really
the show.
Overthinking.
I'm not sure how I ever felt about the Shogun Mega Falcon Zord as a design concept anyway. You know, the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord kind of makes some sense because it gets wings and then it can fly around.
And plus, the Falcon Zord actually matches the style of the Ninja Zords.
Right, and so...
The Ninja Mega Falcon Zord is a dumb combination. Let's just plug some wings in the back of the f***er and call it a day.
Well, that is a valid Japanese design style.
It's a dumb Japanese design style, one I would not support.
Though the...
Well, fine.
Though I've always... The one thing that I never liked about the... Shogun Mega Falcon Zord in the toy is that you can't get the helmet, that if you take the Shogun Mega Zord's helmet off, you can't really put it back on without first taking the Falcon Zord off.
Well, why would you take the helmet off to begin with?
If you're doffing your hat to the monster before killing him.
Okay.
That works.
Well, it's not like Fort Max was coming up with a good answer.
The Shogun Mega Falcon Zord is kind of like a precursor to what you're going to get in Lightspeed Rescue when there are no longer any fighting skills. You just shoot the f*** out of everything.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was kind of Carter's whole method of operation in Lightspeed. Well, shoot out bigger guns!
Shooting children in, like, the training lane.
Carter was awesome.
Oh, my gun doesn't work? Let's shoot it with bigger guns!
More dog
guns. Lightspeed Rescue bothers me to no end because you know our tax dollars supported that. I would like to know if there's a secret ranger base using my tax dollars to create your own range.
I want to know if my tax dollars are being used to jump trains over cities because that would be awesome.
Way better than what we have now.
Well, and then think about your tax dollars probably at work building Terra Venture, too. That was a worthwhile endeavor.
And that's another temporal issue that they never deal with. Now, we're supposed to think that in, what, Lost Galaxy is in the near future. So
I'll that's what
like
it says.
5 years.
Right.
Like, I'll give it like 5 years. You mean to tell me we've increased that much scientifically that we have a freaking colony? That we can send off and we can afford to do this? But also I want to know, like, why were people fleeing Earth? Had they just given up with Angel Grove at the beginning and they're just like, okay, it's through Earth. We gotta go.
We're sick of rebuilding all the time.
That actually was one of the reasons for a lot of the people did mention trying going on there to get away from the monster attacks.
Well, and you can look at it from the other direction too, where someone's like, okay, we just barely survived a massive global alien invasion.
And we have this awesome Astro Mega ship.
Maybe we should start sending people off world so that in case it happens again, at least the whole civilization's not going to get lost.
But we're just not going to use the Astro Mega ship at all, so it becomes a museum.
Yeah, right. But their criteria for choosing people was flawed, because that old lady shouldn't have been on that shuttle. I also think she died when Terra Venture crashed, because she was picking up a valuable seat. That was like what Leo's seat should have been. Because she's like, oh, but apparently a space shuttle again is a 747.
Well, who's they going to have to bake, well, they need Grandma to bake the Grandma's cookies.
Yeah.
And to spoil
the
kids.
They don't even know if Grandma's going to survive the trip.
But no, no. See, Grandma had to have the seat because then you have that way you make it so you can have your main hero of the show be a stowaway on the ship.
Right, right.
Because that's a great character trait for your role model hero character in Power Rangers.
He's a lawbreaker who likes to rip his shirt off when stuff gets bad.
Are we talking about Wild Force now?
No, no,
well,
still Lost Galaxy.
But Leo and whatchamacallit, like, they rip it off when there wasn't even really a need. Like, there might be a little tear, but they're like, screw it. This scenic is done.
Well, besides,
are we talking Power Rangers or Star Trek?
Power Rangers.
Besides, we know that Cole was more in line to rip off his pants than his shirt.
And Galaxy...
Yet... What?
Galaxy Yellow spent just as much time with her shirt off.
Just not in Power Rangers.
Yes, she has. You know, because you guys are the ones to ask, and I don't have, like, in-the-know Power Ranger friends, where, what was the original plan for Lost Galaxy? Like, I know that I heard that they were really, like, down to the wire and not really, like, had any lead time. But what would have happened had she not gotten leukemia?
Okay, what I always heard was the vague plan for that segment of Lost Galaxy was that they were going to use what was assumed to be the five Die Ranger suits that they didn't, that, like, the main color one's not the White Ranger suit, and they'd be representing, like, ancient Rangers of the Lost Galaxy for a story arc toward the end. But then when Valerie Vernon was diagnosed with leukemia, they had to retool that. And then, originally, Pink from In Space was supposed to replace her, but at the last minute... Right. And that's when we got Melody Perkins doing it instead.
Which is fine because she wore leather the entire time.
That certainly was a
confusing years for a young boy watching Power Rangers.
It was a bold and interesting choice. The Pink Ranger, the replacement Pink Ranger, never wore pink once.
Right. And she kept going to that, like, weird Western planet where you just thought stuff was about to turn into a Cinemax movie, and then you're like, wait a minute, this is Power Rangers.
Well, it's run on about the same budget anyway.
No, I'm pretty sure it's lower than that.
Well, I just remembered how lame it was that they're only in the actual Lost Galaxy for about three episodes. And I thought that this couldn't actually be what they had planned.
Not really, no.
Of course, that's also assuming that they had it really planned out much in the first place.
Well, now, there's a difference between not having their editing done until airtime, basically, and not having anything planned out beyond, you know, 2 hours from now. I'm not saying that they always did have stuff planned out more than 2 hours ahead, but, you know.
They pulled a lot out of their ass.
Well, yeah.
The biggest problem with Saban is he seems to want to have continuity, but he won't commit to it. Like, I feel that having Bulk and Samurai is one of the worst things they could have ever done. A, because it makes me sad that Paul Schreier has absolutely nothing else to do with his 40-year-old life. But B, because of, once again, it's another thing to think about. Like, don't make us have these discussions of, like, well, why is Bulk here? Does he still know Skull? Because
Okay, it's just a show. You should really just relax.
Ugh, not again with that.
Plus, Bulk and Spike are the best part of Samurai.
It is generally
really
the only thing.
Saying much.
It is generally the only tolerable part. Well, that and Samurai is like the best thing that ever happened to Rick Medina acting wise. So how sad is that?
You know, you make fun of Rick Medina and his stripping, but at least, like, he didn't go up 12 pant signs of, like, Austin St. John.
Oh, like, snap.
I'd like to know that a Red Ranger could stay in shape 10 years after he had a real paying job.
Well, you know, you get a lot of physical activity with the, you know, taking your clothes off all the time, I'm sure.
And all the banging of women's.
I doubt there's much of that going on. He's just taking his clothes off.
Yeah, sure, that's all strippers do.
It's all the humiliation with none of the benefits is basically my point.
We need to respect him because Cole was the only Red Ranger to defeat the Big Bad by just yelling at it in the rain. He clearly has powers that we don't understand.
Well, he also... Remember, he also destroyed Serpentera, only riding a motorcycle given to him by the Animarian god figure.
It was a badass motorcycle. Infused with the power of all the Red Rangers.
So, you know, I mean, Cole has certain elements going there, but still, Rick Medina is one of the best actors on Samurai. Take that for whatever it's worth.
He is. He is.
And even then, it's still pretty crappy.
It really is. Like, it's been a while since... I think the last team that acted that poorly was probably Lightspeed Rescue. Like, there are people who like that series, but outside of Joel, like, they really couldn't act. The blonde couldn't act. The weird, maybe lesbian, rock-climbing Yellow Ranger couldn't act.
Well, yeah, you're actually
just saying that because you haven't seen Overdrive or Jungle Fury.
Especially Overdrive. Especially Overdrive.
Or Ninja Storm.
Love Ninja Storm.
Oh,
I
God.
Love Ninja Storm.
Now, remember, Mickey, nobody is perfect.
Well, Ninja it gave Storm's us characters so we really... Like, Cam is Billy all over again, you know? Like, it was nice to see that. And
except Asian.
Some, like, the green samurai ninja, which samurai and ninja would never be friends, but I went with it anyway.
The green samurai ninja.
Ninja Storm to me is something they make a bunch of surfers ninjas for some reason.
Well, I'm sure there's been worse ideas for ninjas.
Or samurais.
I can't really think. Well, I guess if you count the superhuman samurai cyber squad. Because, I mean, that wasn't exactly a well thought out choice either. Got some dude in his basement and all his loser friends.
And they're in a band.
But at least they're good actors. So I think we exhausted most of Sound of Discordia, right?
Did we even finish that?
Well, the only thing after the Zord fight is the end of the song competition, which I don't really think we care about, right?
Actually, I did, because I realized that the singing voices that I'm pretty sure aren't actually Kat and Aisha, I think are the same chicks who sing the Sweet Valley High theme song, because you remember Saban also produced the Sweet Valley High series, which is where Tom went when he lost his power.
And they had like clips from VR Troopers and Sweet Valley High. They had that red geo tracker in it from time to time. I mean, it had all of the Saban library stuff in it. Because it was very much a Saban series.
I think it's the same vocalist, and I think it might actually be Cheryl Saban. Because I had heard that at some time she used to dabble in that, because she really has nothing to do these days except spend Hans money. So
they should have had like Zed in the background of a classroom or something or Sweet Valley High.
I wouldn't be surprised if Carla Perez was a teacher in one or more episodes. Carla Perez being the actress who played Rita on screen.
How sad is it that I knew who that was?
Well, me and you had talked about that before, I think, recently anyway, so that helps.
Here's another question. If Rita and Zed both turned into humans when the whole wave went through, what happened to Master Vile?
Dust.
Okay, dust. So does that mean that Mrs. Vile was the human?
I don't really think there's any hard and fast rules about that. You know.
You have to ask the hard questions. They're giving us the raw material, and they want us to draw conclusions.
Mrs. Vile was actually Tommy from Time Traveling.
Chew on that one.
I always wanted a bumper sticker that said Zordon died for nothing. Because when you really think about it, that wave took out all the people we knew, but we've still had like 15 years since of big bads. So apparently he did not wipe out all the evil in the universe.
Just all the evil that was awake at the time.
Right.
What about existing, not new souls?
Well, no, because like the demons in Lightspeed Rescue were existing evils. They were just, you know, trapped in a crypt or something asleep.
It was a dumpster. Like, well, whatever. Rita. Not on that.
And then, and, you know, Scorpius and all of them were, I guess, technically outside the galaxy to start with. So they were safe, and, let's see, what was after that? Well, Time Force was from the future, so there was plenty of time for all new evils to grow up. And then the orgs were also sealed away, I guess.
But so it kind of... He wasn't wrong. Like, that's the problem I have with Time Force. Like, Time Force, yes, he has some extreme tactics, but he wasn't... It's the same way I feel about Sinestro and Green Lantern. He's not really a villain. They just really are hate-filled, persecuting society.
See, now, I actually thought that in early Time Force 2. The society they paint of the year 3000 is like... It's like super sterilized, structured. It's almost dystopian. You know, they build it up to be this great thing to aspire to, but it's like there's no real freedom in it.
And well, remember, most of what we find out about it is from Rancic.
Yeah, I know. The view is probably distorted a bit. But still, I mean, the picture the audience gets to see of it, though, is not really positive at all.
Right, and even the people we see from it. I mean, everyone's a douchebag. Lucas, douchebag. Like, Future West, douchebag. Like, Pink Ranger, girl who loves douchebag. The only nice one is Trent.
And he's potentially an alien.
Right. And he probably, it's the same problem, like, if he had been born on Earth, he would have been persecuted just like Rancic. It's the same issue I have with Marvel Comics, where everybody loves the Fantastic Four because they got turned into freaks from that shuttle, but they hate mutants. So if I were a mutant, I'd just say, no, I was on that shuttle. I just couldn't work out the contract. So it's like, there were only five of us. I didn't like the deal they offered me. Oh, this tail, I scale my radiation.
But yes, I agree. There's potential societal issues with Time Force's future. And I think at some point along the way, somebody might have realized that, which is why they stopped really talking about what the future is like.
But again, there's some of that tease continuity, because I always wanted to believe that SPD was just another rung on the spectrum towards Time Force. Because, I mean, you got 1,000 years to work with there. If you're going to have Cop Rangers, you might as well throw in there, like, hey, we descended from the Silver Guardians, which were glorified security guards.
But then how the f*** does RPM fit into the timeline?
Eric Myers, Mall Cop. No?
Okay. At the very, very end, when Kilo Khan comes over from Superhuman Samurai Cyber and develops into the Vengeance Fire.
But he didn't sound like Tim Curry.
Yeah, he didn't sound anything like Tim Curry.
Well, contractual issues? Oh, I can find a loophole. I'm the king of fan fiction. I can tie in VR Troopers if you test me.
Oh, my. I bet you can.
The rule of Tommy, I guess.
The rule of Tommy?
Well, there was that Cybertron pilot.
Right. Which had really nothing to do at all with VR Troopers. But okay, we'll go with that. It's okay, Fort Max. Well,
wait, did we ever finish the show?
Yes.
We finished all the parts that mattered. You mean the episode we were talking about, right? Not the podcast. Yeah, we haven't finished the podcast yet, but I'm working on that. Oh, then I just ripped my headset off my head.
It was kind of bad, though, that the winner was just decided by the principal. I guess I've been jaded by Idol and all these other shows where I'm used to a panel of judges, but he and his toupee decided to make the decision for the entire school.
It's kind of sad they dropped the toupee gag after the first season.
I thought it got old, but once again, the same way I like to think that Kimberly ran off with her coach, I like to think that Mrs. Appleby and the principal had a thing, too. something to keep continuity going.
No, it was obvious,
it
was obviously Mrs. Appleby and Lieutenant Stone.
Or Mrs. Appleby and Ernie, you know, before he went to build bridges in the Amazon because his heart could totally handle that. Like, I'm convinced the juice bar was a front for selling drugs, because there's no way you're that fat you peddle smoothies. The health department just needed to be like, okay, now.
Well, no, open he up just sells closet. That. That doesn't mean that he eats that he drinks them, so...
And they did try to shut it down in at least one episode.
His smoothies are just full of butter and lard.
That's why they're so popular.
How long they were in space, because I love how they come back and it's like, hey, look, it's a completely new establishment. Now, maybe it's just that I worked in real estate, but I'm thinking, like, man, to get that permit's at least 90 days.
Well, okay, here's what I figure.
What's your parents looking for them?
Here's what I figure. The time they were on the shuttle trying to get to Eltar, you know, it was just a regular shuttle, so they're going at a fraction of the speed of light, so there's like a relativity issue, time dilation. So although they're only on there for probably a couple of days, they're gone for like 6 months.
And no one was looking for them.
No, not at all, not even their parents, because as you pointed out before, parents of Power Rangers just don't give a shit.
And then they just go right back to high school when they land.
TJ and Cassie are runaways. Like, TJ and Cassie's parents don't know where they are anyway. They met on the bus running away to the big city. He was going to play baseball, and she was going to be a singer.
And they came on a bus from Stone Canyon.
Yep.
It's like a bad Bon Jovi song.
Oh, it's like a Bon Jovi song.
This has been some kind of conversation, I gotta say. But I think we probably ought to wrap it up, because at least for our East Coast people, it's getting to be a little bit late. So
we should probably close it up before the cow moves again.
Yeah, that too. I've been lucky tonight. So on next week's show, we're going to talk about an episode of Power Rangers Turbo, yet to be determined specifically, I guess. And we'll be joined
Do the one with the bombs in it.
Okay.
Hold on. I was thinking of something with the replacement cast, but you do make a good case for
how
that.
How about the evil jackets?
Didn't we do that?
No.
I could swear we did that.
In general.
Maybe. No, I was actually thinking of Trouble by the Slice, because they're here to toss your salad.
Well, that's the one with the evil pizzas, not the evil jackets.
Yes, I know, but what I'm telling you, I was thinking of Trouble by the Slice. That was the episode I had in mind. Either that or A Tiger in Your Tank. That was the episode's name, right? With Torch Tiger?
Yeah,
Was that the right episode?
I vote for the pizzas.
Yeah, probably the pizzas. And we will be joined next week by guest host J.D. Church from Fanboy Versus.
Because he watched through all Turbo.
Yes, he's one of the few people who actually chose to do so years later. So, Will, thank you so much for being on. We've had a great time having you here.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Do you have a website you'd like to plug before we end?
Sure. It's williambrucewest.com. My tagline is, I've forgotten more about pop culture than you'll ever know. and I like to just rant about comics and Power Rangers and kids in my school and stuff like that. So,
do you have any Mr. Belvedere? Do you have any Mr. Belvedere content?
I actually don't, but I could generate some. I was following Wesley on Twitter for a while, but he wasn't very interesting.
He's still alive?
Yeah. Apparently, like, he joined Twitter, and he only had, like, 60 followers, and everyone's like, this makes no sense. Wesley Owen should have more followers. But he's not doing anything, and he can't even, like, joke about his lack of a career, so.
Oh.
But I got my theories on Mr. Belvedere, too, so stay tuned.
See what I have wrought. Okay, well, I think that will be our show for this week. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and be sure to come back and check us out next time. This is where you all start saying bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Goodbye.
So long.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
At least we stayed, you know, closer in. We stayed within Power Rangers instead of, like, drifting off to Star Trek or something again. Although I'm sure you could go on to some length about that too, right, Will?
Oh, yeah. I'm a closeted Trekker.
Well, that's a different show. So I don't think
that's another segue drive off the cliff.
I don't think we have time for that tonight. Yeah, but really,
speaking of which, good news, Ben finally finished Enterprise.
What do you think of it?
He hasn't said anything about it yet.
Oh, well, that must
now be. He's watching Voyager.
Oh, no. Enterprise, just a quick thing. Enterprise, to me, was not a terrible show. I know it's not what, like, Trek fans would want, but it was before its time because it's exactly what they did with the movie reboot. When they made Enterprise, they wanted a younger, sexier Star Trek that wouldn't alienate people with the techno-speak. And that's kind of what it was. And people are like, oh, this is weird because it doesn't have an orchestral theme and all that stuff. And then the movie comes out, and it's the same spirit that Enterprise had, that, like, young pioneer situation when you don't have all this continuity tying you down.
Just 70% more chrome.
Yes.
Well, I know. When I think younger and sexier, I think of the guy from Quantum Leap.
Yeah, I liked Enterprise. I mean, I didn't really have a problem with it. Until they did the Zindi story arc. I didn't care for that. But, you know, the concept of Enterprise I was fine with, and the execution for the most part. And Scott Bakula even kind of managed as the captain.
And plus sign, it wasn't Voyager.
I mean, it's not like, you know, Kevin Sorbo in Andromeda.
Oh, Kevin Sorbo.
Have you ever thought about this, though, where we only worship Star Trek because it was the idea that came out first? That we could really be celebrating like 40 years of Earth Final Conflict right now, or 40 years of Andromeda. Because when you deal with the source material, it's really the fact that, like, it's lasted so long that we love it. Like, any of those three things could have spawned the cult following we have now.
But really, here, besides me and you, Will, who even remembers Earth Final Conflict?
I remember the name, but I never watched an episode.
Yeah,
exactly.
I remember that it was a thing that existed at some point.
Exactly. Whereas,
I loved it because it's one of those everybody dies situations.
And then half of them come back to life. Everybody dies and half of them come back at the end.
Pretty much is like Jesus angels.
All right, quick question. Does anyone else remember Earth Star Voyager aside from me?
No.
No.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
It sounds like a Chinese knockoff of a show I probably would have watched, though.
It was like a Disney two-part made-for-TV movie in the 80s.
Well, that doesn't narrow it down much.
Did it star a member of the Brat Pack?
I don't even remember. There's strikingly little information about it out there.
Are you sure you didn't just, like, imagine it?
Maybe it didn't exist.
It's on IMDb. It has to exist.
Oh, like, IMDb is a good resource. It's just some giant hoax.
Mom's a giant hoax.
Well, I remember years back, several people from within the Power Rangers fandom got themselves listed on IMDb just by claiming to have written for it. You know, I mean, it's not like there's stringent standard there. It's not Wikipedia. Well,
say
what you
say. The Power Rangers is probably one of the only things I can think of. Sometimes it happens in Trek, but that's usually with the books, where, like, writing fanfic can actually allow you to write one of the most highly contested anniversary episodes known to man.
Yes, Amit Bhaumik did a number to us.
Like, that's the biggest. It's like, did they ever read what he had written? Like, I'm still amazed that he, like, I don't want to write fanfic about everything. It's like, hey, here's my Scrubs fanfic. Let's bring that show back.
It works.
Like, people actually apparently pay attention to that stuff.
Leave the Scrubs fan wank to Short Pact.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah, I don't know how Amit got into where he was doing stuff officially by the time of Forever Red, but I'm just glad he did not get to do much beyond that, because that man had ideas, and they were not good for Power Rangers.
Well, isn't the rumor that he's, like, back involved now? I can't trust everything I read online, because a lot of it comes from Ranger Board. I'm just like, I go over there, and it's like, God, how many people have never ejaculated before? Not even by your own hand. Like, it's the office.
But no,
loosen up. Let off some steam.
I'm not really connected to the fandom like I used to be, especially since it basically revolves around Ranger Board now. You know, back during Wild Force and all that, I was around at least lurking on Alt Fan Power Ranger on Usenet. So, I mean, that was at least a little bit. Amit was actually posting about stuff. You know, I mean, you had more of an idea of what was going on that way, at least. I don't know anything about him being back involved again. I really hope he's not.
I had heard rumors that he was back involved with this team-up. But then, like I said, they don't come from people I necessarily trust. Right. I only, when I was into the web stuff, I read, like, Chris Fignaro's board, but Ranger Board kind of happened during college, and I just couldn't. I couldn't get into it, and now it frightens me. Like, they all just frighten me.
Chris Fignaro is a completely different ball of wax.
I like his stuff, because it seemed pretty straightforward. It seemed pretty reliable. It wasn't a lot of speculation. There's too much speculation on Ranger Board. I'm just like,
I know I can pull some stuff out of...
Yeah, true. I guess I reserve that for comics.
And really, Chris Fignaro is pretty heavy into the fanon stuff. He's just able to present it in such a way that it's like, oh, okay, you know. Like I said, he's a whole different matter aside from Ranger Board and Amit and all that. But Amit Bhaumik wanted to do things like establish that there was like this secret society Tommy was leading and another faction led by the Phantom Ranger and have this like war between them.
That's stupid.
It is immensely stupid. It is stupid. I am not disputing that at all. But, I mean, that's one of the kind of things he had going on where he wanted to take Power Rangers with that, where it's like, I am so glad that that production changed hands between seasons. You know.
Is he the one who also wrote the Deer song?
I cannot definitively pin that to him, no.
I can say that him leading a secret faction is more credible to me than getting a PhD and becoming a teacher.
Well, totally. And I will say that Tommy's role in Forever Red, where he is basically running around behind the scenes organizing, you know, former Rangers, leftover technology and all that, because he can't do anything but be a Power Ranger when you get right down to it, that's perfectly credible, too. You know, that seems like it's perfectly in line with how Tommy is portrayed over the years. This is the only thing he knows how to do because he has no other skills.
That's true. There's no job security. And I had mentioned, I went on like a drunken Twitter rant a couple months ago where I was saying that it makes no sense what happens in Turbo for Zordon to put forth this idea that, okay, once you become a certain age, we let you back out into the world, because no one had ever been a Ranger that long anyway. Like,
right.
Even since then, no one has been a Ranger as long as that group had been Rangers. So at max, you maybe got, like, 3 years of employment, if we could call it that, and then they kick you out. But, like, I don't see why they would establish a rule that basically no one has ever met. No one has ever had powers long enough to retire, basically. Like, is there a pension fraud going on? Like, it was just kind of cool. It's like, thanks for giving me your high school years. Good looking community college. And made a power protection.
Well, I remember Kat wanted to go to ballet school in London or something. She had high aspirations. And Tommy wanted to be a race car driver.
Whatever Ernie has become at this point.
No, she became a student teacher, remember?
Yes, but what she was working for was to go to do the ballet thing, even though they called her big and awkward.
And then, does this mean that the very Zeo Christmas is no longer in continuity? Because I had pretty much resolved that they get married and their grandson becomes a Ranger. Now all that's thrown out the window.
Well, that's more of that Saban time travel stuff for you, so.
That's the other clone of Tommy.
They're all over
that's
the place.
A real, I mean, on the one hand, you could say that, wow, that Oliver bloodline must be strong. Well, on the other hand, it's like, why does Zordon keep f***ing with Tommy and his family? Let them just live in peace.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Super Hero Time!